Morning. Man, what a service already. God is moving, right? And it's so good to be in his house. Before we get on with the message, I just want to share some of the thoughts that I have of Jay. Jay has been a blessing to me. Their family, first and foremost, has welcomed the Alexanders in open arms. I've known of Jay for a long time. Once I heard they had Jay here at this as a youth pastor, and he had been here and what he was doing, as a youth pastor during that time, I thought, man, I looked up to him and said, he doesn't know this, but I thought, I got to compete with that guy. He's got it right. And I will say, he doesn't know this either, there are many things that I did in my youth ministry that I modeled after him. He loved his teens, he loves his family, and more importantly, he loves God. And he was a man that showed that. When I was interviewing for this process, or when I was in the beginning stages, I decided, hey, I need to go and talk to Jay. And I sat down in his office, we shut the door, and I had a frank conversation going, hey, what are your thoughts of me coming here? And he said, oh, this poor church. No, that is not what he said. He was super supportive, and he said he thinks this is what God wants. And since then, has been an awesome teammate while being here. God has blessed me with the time that I've had with him. And I will say, I knew he was interviewing. And there was a part of me saying, Lord, don't let him bomb those interviews. Because I was wanting them to stay. I do see the talent, and I see what God has blessed on his heart, and I know he's going to do some amazing things where he's going. That church is truly blessed with an awesome family. And I thank you for the time that we've had together. What was cool, I sat in his office. We had a staff meeting, me and Peg and Jay, and just sitting down and just talking about what it was during this time of us being together and how seeing his heart for this church and seeing where the potential of going. I will tell you, we were super excited as a team moving forward. And now I'm like, oh no. Now I'm on this on me and Peg. Good luck, Peg. Wherever she went, right? But I know God is going to move, and I know God is moving with the Bush family there, and I know that the same is here, right? And we come to the A first and foremost to serve God, to worship God, but what's cool is that we get to come together today, too, as a church family and show this world of how to say goodbye and how to love each other through this. It's a weird thing in this moment. I've been a part of these moments in my ministry, and it's twofold, right? We are super happy for what God has called on them. But those who are left behind, we are super sad because we've known the impact that they've left in our hearts and our lives. I know Jay and I feel like I will stay connected to him. He's already told me he's going to watch my stuff and steal it and make it better, which can't be too hard, right? He won't make fun of his family. That's step one, right? Don't do that. It makes a happy life, all right? And so today, at the end of the service, I just want to remind you all, we're going to have a lunch, and all are welcome, whether it's your first, second, or third time being here. Come, be with us, eat dinner, eat lunch with us. It is about saying goodbye to the Bushes, but also a chance for us all to get to know each other even more. And I guarantee the Bushes are like, yeah, more the merrier. We want to make sure you get a chance with them at the end, at lunchtime to take pictures. Jay loves pictures, so make sure you take as tons of pictures with him, all right? But yeah, we want those moments that you can have to remember from this point on. And I would challenge you today, too, to be thinking about how the Bush family made an impact on you. And please make it positive, all right? a positive impact that the Bush family, maybe, I know, best friends, all right? positive impact that Jay and his family have had on you. Because more than anything, places that I've been, I take those with me forever. Knowing that God has used me is more significant than anything else. And I know the same goes for the Bush family. All right? Cool thing, God's funny this way. As I was planning for services, this came up, the journey. Are you ready to go? And Jay, I think, said yes, right? He's ready to go. We're going to talk about Exodus 13, 17 through 14 through 31. So open your Bibles if you want. Guess what? I'm not going to read the whole scripture off to you, but I'm going to go through what is being said here. And you got homework this week. I want you to read this. I want you to look it over. If I messed anything up, come and challenge me. I'm as human as anybody else, but I want you to look and study this scripture this week, all right? We're going to talk about taking a journey, and are you ready to go today? One of the favorite things I love to do with my family is go on vacation. I love vacation. One of the things about vacation that I love is I don't have to plan it. I have somebody in my household who loves to plan, who loves to show where we're going to go, what we're going to do, and I get to put my 2 cents in and be like, oh, that's going to be no good. I don't want to do this. And she's like, oh, come on. I just spent hours and weeks doing this, and I just ruined it in 2 seconds, and we change it up. But she's willing to do it, right? And I love my wife. I want that to be heard today. I love my wife. Early on in our vacations planning, wherever we go, if it was a day trip or a week-long trip, the back of my trunk in my car was the same. Anybody else? We packed everything. Everything. She would get it together, and guess who? That morning, I sweated. I sweat no matter what. That's the way God has designed me. I wish he didn't, but he did. And it's like an hour and a half to 2 hours worth of packing, and it's like learning the puzzle and logic and how to get it in there. And I already know I'm not going to be able to see out the back window. It's just not going to happen. We have to have everything when we go on our trips. It's just how my wife is. Until the very last vacation that we went on, she's like, you know what? I'm going to try something new. We're going to pack really light. And it was a week long to Montana, of all places, that we packed light. And so there were moments where you're like, hey, we don't have this. Oops. Right? Don't get mad, all right? Did you see this? You give me the eyeball. I don't know. But getting ready is one of those things that's tough when it comes to taking a trip. And going is tough when you get on that trip. The other part is knowing where you're going, right? Early on in our marriage, we didn't have this thing really GPS. You had maps, and you had to just know and go, right? And I'm one of those drivers. I'm the main driver in our family. If we go anywhere, even going to Montana, Michelle doesn't get behind the wheel because she loves reading a book. And if I'm tired, so be it. There have been times that I'm like, let's purposely just run on those rumble strips. She's like, hey, you okay? No, I'm really tired. Oh, well, stay on the road, please. All right? We have our roles. And one of the roles is I know where we're going. I get it all planned out, and I go. The thing that I, early on in our marriage, that I couldn't stand either was, are you sure we're going the right way? Yes. Do you want to drive is always the next thing that comes up. I think you missed your exit. No, I didn't. One of my favorite trips is I had my mother-in-law in the car, and we were going to San Jose. We were living in California, and we were in a stretch that you couldn't see. There was nothing. There wasn't a gas station for miles. And my mother-in-law happened to be sitting in the front seat with me. And I noticed her looking over at the gas gauge. And I can start to see her in her mind, and even a bead of sweat going, we're not going to make it. And I saw a gas station. I drove right by it. I was like, oh, let's have fun. And we just kept going. And I will say, from that point on, it helped my prayer life. I was going, Lord, let there be another gas station close. Because this is a joke. Don't let this go out of control. And we finally pulled over. And I saw my mother-in-law. I'm standing outside putting gas. And I saw my mother-in-law look back. And I just see her talking to Michelle going, that boy. If we would have had to push this car, you would have had a new husband after this. Right? I guarantee that was the conversation. We get back in, it's a little tense, and she looks at me and goes, don't let you do that again. Love it. And now it's a constant reminder through our house. And I love giving my mother-in-law a hard time. I just do. It's just our relationship. But the journey is one of those things, before you go, there's stuff to get ready. You need to know where you're going. You need to be ready to go, right? And if you're not, then it can kind of be like you get in the car and you go, okay, why are we in a car? What are we going to do? And you don't have a destination. Well, sometimes I want to tell you, following God is getting in the car not knowing where you're going to go and what you're going to do. But turning on that ignition and saying, I'm ready to go. All right? You look at this group. You got Israelites, right? These are people of God. And they are under a Pharaoh, a king, that has enslaved them and treated them horribly for years and has decided, you know what? They can go. They can leave. That his heart just decided, I don't need this people. And I want you to know, the group of people that he had under his rule ranged from possibly 70,000 people to 5,000 people. They don't necessarily know because they didn't really take a census, but those are the estimated group of people. And imagine 70,000 people going, we have freedom. We can go. And them going, I have no clue where we're going to go. What are we going to do? And God talking to one of them, Moses, and saying, listen, take your people, and I want you to follow me. And God is so awesome. God does things that is unbelievable, and the more that you know and follow God, they become believable, right? So, he tells Moses, I need you to follow me. And by following me, by day, I will put a cloud, a mist, something in front of you that you will recognize as my presence, and you will follow it. And by night, that cloud or mist will turn into a burning fire, and you will follow it. And in this night, they follow, in this time, they start to follow it, and they don't go the direct path to freedom. God has them wandering around and just following, and it seems like God is just messing with these people, right? Now, if I'm God, I can understand that. I enjoy messing with people. It's just my nature. It's who God has put in me, right? And I could go, oh, you're going to go this way and see how long I can keep 70,000 to 5,000 people following my direction, follow the leader, right? Going up and down. And all of a sudden, Pharaoh has decided, you know what? I just gave up all these people. What was I thinking? That was free labor. So he sent all his army to go after him. Now, in this time, mind you, he had to have people watching them because they looked silly and they went back and reported to the Pharaoh. They're lost, man. They're just wandering all over this place and they don't have a clue where they're going. And so Pharaoh got really confident. If I just show an overwhelming force, they're just going to come back. In fact, many of the Israelites during this time, I don't think Moses knows what he's doing. I don't think God's really involved in this. Let's just go back. We had it so much better being a slave. All right? And I think a lot of us in our own spiritual walk have said those words. This isn't easy. I can't hear God. I feel God's leading me in some weird ways. Why is he taking me this way? Let's just go back to how it was. All right? And then God looks at Moses, tells Moses, listen, Pharaoh is so full of himself that he thinks this is so easy that through his failure, my amazement, my essence will rule over these people, because the people that follow Pharaoh will go, holy cow, this God that they follow made Pharaoh look like a fool. But this is what's crazy. So he brings them to a camp. God brings him to his people to a camp that's penned off between the Red Sea and the army, and they have no place to go. Many times within the church life, we have felt that. I think within the culture that we live, we feel that right now. That the enemy is surrounding us, and we just want to say, God, either move and shake this world, or let me just go. Let us be cut off from this world. Let us be isolated from what's going on and just make it easy. Right? God looks at Moses and lifts his staff and says, listen, take this staff, which is my presence is bound within that staff right now. Go out into the middle of the sea and watch the sea walls just go up. First and foremost, I want to remind you how God was leading these people. This cloud by day, just random cloud. I don't know about you, but I don't have usually a cloud in front of me all day long showing me where to go. It would be amazing if he did, right? Then I would know easily. And then at night, a ball of fire. So they have this before them already. So Moses goes out, stands in the middle, parts the sea. We've heard this as a kid, many of us. But I don't think we understand the dramatic effect of what's going. Even if it was 5,000 people, the least that people think, to even the highest, it's just 70,000 people crossing this moment. I pack and get ready for 4 people in my life, myself and my kids and my wife, when we go on a trip. It's so frustrating sometimes. My wife will say, she'll put a time out there that we need to get on the road, and it's about that time, and she starts yelling, are you guys ready? And I'll say, yeah, and I'll go sit out in the car. And I want to say every minute feels like 15 minutes. I don't know about anybody else. And early on in our marriage, man, I was not patient, I was not kind, and I'd sit there and lay on the horn after 5 minutes of waiting. Right? I'd be frustrated. She would say she's ready to go and then go use the restroom. I'm like, why didn't you just say that before? Right? I can only imagine for Moses getting those people across the sea and organizing that in a way that is efficient and ready to go. Only through God can you do that. And you have this army that's chasing after you. And they're so bold that they don't even recognize, oh, we're confident. We see this is going on. The sea is divided. So what? We're going to go kill those people. We're going to go capture them and take them back. They don't even recognize God working because they're just so caught up in the moment that they can't see God. And they attack. And they start to cross. And what happens? They float. The seas come back. And the Israelites are saved. Man, what a journey. I think a lot of us live our journey in ways that we want the A to B destination and to understand how we're going to get to A without any obstacles, without any detours. I love my phone now. I don't want to use love. I like my phone. All right? some of the reasons I like my phone, I put my destination in my phone, and this phone, I don't know how, people in Google are amazing. They can tell me if there's an accident, they can tell me if there's construction, they can tell, and they can go ahead and reroute my destination. So I avoid it, so I have the fastest trip ever. Now, sometimes they mess it up, and they get an address wrong. And we end up in a place, and I'm like, what? Where are we at? Right? But I have become so reliant on that, that I don't have to remember many routes anymore. I just put it in. Right? I don't know about you, but I used to be really good at memorizing how to get through a town. It would take me like a week. Now I don't even care because my phone hasn't memorized. And at one time I would have thought, well, that's a challenge of my manhood, but now I just don't even care. Go ahead and challenge my man. I don't need to know the town. I'll just put it in my phone and hope my phone stays alive, right? And I'll get there. Imagine if we had the same kind of faith of just following God. That in the times that feels like God is leading us in a way that seems so lost, uncomfortable, maybe even just I'm going backwards and forwards and I have no clue. And this is the cool thing about God is he's in that with us and wants to use our talents and gifts in that, in those journeys that we have. I don't know about you, but I've had relationships that I thought were going in a great way, and the next day I realized, no, they're not going in a great way. And I think what God is doing is listening. Listen, in this time with this person, it's going to take a while. It's going to take a while, and it's going to feel like we take two steps forward and then 15 back. But trust me. Trust me. The process I'm going to use. See, in this story, not only was he showing the Israelites, God was showing the Israelites his power, but he was showing the whole land his power. He was letting everybody that Pharaoh is not God. And in that time, if you were a Pharaoh, if you're a king, if you were worshipped. You're above any kind of form of God, no matter what. And God was proving a point with this Pharaoh and the people that followed. And the people that he was using was the church. He was using the church and saying, hey, I'm going to take you this way, and I'm going to take this, this way, and it's going to feel like you're not going in any direction, and it's going to feel kind of hopeless, and it's going to feel like, why am I here? But if you follow me, I will be glorified. I just need to know, are you ready to go? That's the simple question that I want to leave you with today. Are you ready to go? Whether that's in a relationship that you have that seems like it's not healthy, that it goes backwards and forwards and you feel like it's not getting anywhere, or maybe it's just you and God. That you read scripture and you're not getting it right now. Like it has no flavor to you. That it has no spiritual development for you. That you just read it and you're like, ugh. Okay, I just put my time in. And God would say, yes, that's what I want. I want your time and I want your worship and I want you. And in that, there are being times that you feel like, I'm ready, but the car's not going. Or your directions seem really lost, God. I wanted to get to this point in my life. I should have had this job already. I should have been here already. Things should have been healed already between me and this person. You see, God has his timing and his purpose, and when we sit in it and we say we're ready for him to move, he will be glorified. And not only the situation that you find yourself in gets glorified by God, others will look and go, wow, only God can move. Only God could redeem this. Only God can make this happen. You see, he's ready for a church that's willing to say they are ready to go. He's wanting a church that's looking and saying to a community, we love you, How do we lead you? How do we love you? How do we restore you when you don't want this? We have to be a church that's ready to go. The rest of this series, we're going to be talking what it means to be on the journey with God. We're going to be talking what it means to be in a life with God that says, okay, let's go. And you say, okay, I'll go that 1 mile. And he says, well, you know what? Actually, I called you to go the second mile. I called you to go even an extra mile for somebody. We're going to talk about next week what that looks like to go the extra mile. But right now, I want you to live in this week. I want you to understand what it means to be ready to go. There's a couple things. You have to be listening for God. You have to be in tune with God. Moses was listening to God. Moses saw the presence of God in front of him because he was looking for God. And he had a heart that was willing to trust God. Can you imagine, really quick, there are moments in my life that I look at my life and go, I get overwhelmed with how much responsibility I have on it. I love my kids. I love my wife. I want to make sure they have the best life possible. But in that means I have to make sure they're fed. I have to make sure they're clothed. I have to make sure, and first and foremost, that they know God loves them. And that God's their redeemer. That God sent their son for them. And why? I want them to know those things. There's other things. Like, I see them go through troubles and trials. And as a parent, it's easy to go, I want to come in and fix that. But as a dad, I have to pray about it. And I have to seek God or his guidance in it. And I don't always give them the answer because God doesn't always give me the answer. The answer is me just saying, I'm ready. I'm ready to go. Where do you want to lead me? That's the initial part of the journey. And as I say these things, family, to come up here. Yeah, you get to come up. I'm going to ask Larry to come up. And we have a gift for the Bush family. But I just want to say, Jay in this time, and this is just to, not necessarily to go come here and worship Jay this morning or the Bush family, but it's to say, as a symbol, as a follower, I think Jay has been seeking out God's guidance since day one. I think Jay has been struggling with those moments of going, where do you want me to go? Do you want me to stay? Do you want me to go? What is it, Lord? And I think he's running around in circles going, okay, I'm patient. I'll wait. But I want you to know, Jay has been ready to go. And that doesn't mean that he's been ready to go from here, but he's been ready to go where God wants to lead him. You understand? And that's what as I was writing the sermon, all I could think about was Jay in this moment. Of going, okay, this is what we need. He's leading by example. He didn't jump on the very first thing. He didn't get down about other things. Now, I will say he probably sat with God and go, what do you want? Can you just tell me? Can it just be answered right away? I have a family to take care of. But he was patient and never gave up on God. And I already know he knows God never gave up with him. Right? And I honestly believe In this time too, that God has glorified this time of feeling like, where am I supposed to go, to be a blessing on my family, to be a blessing on you guys, to, when he does go, to watch how God moves, and for us to sit back and go, how amazing the moments we had with Jay, and now I want to be the same example to others. I want to live as the Bush family lived. Because they were on fire for God. And they're willing to say, I'm ready to go. Right? So I'm going to let Larry present a gift. Oh, all right.
Well, Jay, as I was thinking about this morning, I thought back to that, perhaps that first interview when you came in and interviewed with the board that night, and everything that's happened since that time. And all I can say is, I think Ben's absolutely right. God's got great things ahead for you and your family. We're going to miss you like crazy. But we just want to wish God's greatest blessings on you. And from a grateful church, we just want to say thank you very much.
Thank you so much. 15 and a half years. First, I just want to say thanks to God.
Amen.
It's not often a pastor gets to say somewhere 15 and a half years. And I'm so incredibly thankful for that. That my kids got to, you know, go to school and finish one school district. Easton came in first grade, so she had a little bit, but... But most, you know, most of her schooling career was here, and my son Austin went to kindergarten and graduated from here, and that's, I mean, that's just rare, that's odd. And I'm so thankful to God for giving us that gift. And I'm so thankful for you as a church family who've loved us and taken care of us. I've been great friends. And like I said, that's very rare that some pastors stay that long. And thanks for putting up with me, I guess I have to say. And I'm just so thankful. But please burn that dancing video. That'd be a good gift. No, that's good. We love you all. We're so thankful. This has been so bittersweet. Like Ben said, our desire was not to leave here. Our desire was to follow God. And I really believe that's what he has orchestrated. I've seen time and time again how God has orchestrated. This is his doing. And I'm thankful for that. But I'm also, and I will always be thankful for this church home. And for all of you. So thank you so much. We love you. Easton wants to say something.
Oh, she does.
I will. My moment in the sun. Before I actually go to the sun on the beach. Anyway. Yeah, have fun this winter, people. But seriously, I think it really was a matter of God's timing. I know. Like my dad said, it's rare that a pastor gets to last this long. And I know their goal when he found out that, you know, might not be a possibility of staying here, they prayed that Austin will get to finish his senior year of high school here. And I thought it was such a God's timing thing that the day they found out he got the job was the day they took Austin off to college. So, yeah. Thanks.
So what we're going to do right now is I'm going to ask the Bush family to step down, and we're going to pray over them. And what I ask is, if you've had an impact, if you've been impacted by the Bush family, please come up, and we'll pray over them, and then we'll let them go off to have lunch first. We'll let them go through the line, and then everybody else will be dismissed to go have lunch, okay? So let's pray over them. Let's pray. Lord, we want to first and foremost give you the praise. We thank you for this morning. We thank you for this church. We thank you for how you have brought us together, how you have a divine plan. Lord, I just pray that we're willing to follow it. I pray that we say yes to you. Lord, I lift up the Bush family. We thank you for the impact that they've had on their community. It is indicative of what you've done in their life, how much you love them, and how much they've said yes to you from how I've seen the waves and impact that you've had in other people's lives because of this family. Lord, they will forever be remembered here. They will forever be a part of this family. I pray they know that they have people here loving on them, praying for them, and expecting big things in the ministry that you have already set before them. Lord, I pray that you guide them and direct them. I pray that you make this a safe journey. I pray that it is seamless, that there's no problems. Lord, I pray that you use the Bush family at Crystal Coast. I pray that a revival happens because you are using this family and they have said yes to you. I pray that we get the stories back and we are so excited about what is going on. Lord, I pray that you bring them friends that they can trust, that they can be loved on by. Lord, I pray as we move forward that we take the gift that we have had with this time with the Bush family and we don't neglect it, but we use it. That all the things that they have bestowed upon us and the gifts that they have given us, I pray, Lord, that we don't just dwell in it, but we use it and we praise God for the time that we had with them. Lord, with your willingness, with your guidance, we send them knowing that you will use them. And knowing that it hurts that we say goodbye, but we know we find joy because you're using them right where you're meant to. We thank you for all you've done. We thank you for this family. We thank you for what they mean to us. We give you all the glory, Lord. Amen.